me give you a quick pen sketch of my life, seeing as I was kind of introduced in this, as having grown up in this church. Well, technically that's sort of correct, but I was, as a baby, I was actually born at Ringwood in Melbourne. As a baby, I was taken to the Apostolic Church in Punt Road, Richmond. My father was then called, asked, requested, moved to Brisbane here as a prophet. The church at that time met in the Temperance Hall in sort of Ann Street, or one of those streets just near Ann Street. From there, we had a pastor who was a builder by profession, and he built the Apostolic Church in Brunswick Street, the Valley. That building is still there, just up from Barry Parade. If you ever look at it, the Joyful News Church was just over the road from our church. We then sort of met in, or we were there for a very long time, and then we sort of moved to different places in terms of hired halls and venues in various places. And then when, at the time when Peter Constantine was here, we actually built this building. And so you know the history from then on, because most of you became associated with this local assembly from here. So that's a very, just a brief pen sketch of my history, where I came from, and why Gary always refers to me as a one church person. So, is the Holy Spirit your guide? Interesting question, isn't it? So, what is the Holy Spirit to you in your life? And I must, let me then ask the question, if I can get this thing going the right way. Are you enjoying the ride? Interesting. Is this your life? As a young kid growing up, I used to love going to the Yakka. Primary school, high school, and I did enjoy, I used to love the roller coasters, the Big Dipper, the Mickey, what was it, the Mickey Mouse thing? Come on, who's been, who used to go to the exhibition? The Wild Mouse, you remember the Wild Mouse? Goodness me. Sorry, I'm showing my age, there you go. I've even got my 80-year socks on, look at that. But I did certainly enjoy, I used to love the rides of the different types. So Nancy and I, on our honeymoon, we went to Manly in Sydney. And of course, as growing up too, because born in Melbourne, we used to go every couple of years back to Melbourne. And I used to love going to Luna Park at St Kilda and the Big Dipper, and the absolutely fabulous. So on our honeymoon, I sort of thought this would be a fantastic opportunity to go to the Luna Park in Sydney, which we did. And of course, I thought it'd be great to just introduce Nancy to the thrill of going on the Big Dipper. Well, disaster. From the very first moment that we set off, Nancy kind of buried her head within my shoulder, and the whole ride, the absolute whole ride, and even her watch got such a shock that it stopped working. Something got caught up with the balance spring, whatever. I had to get it repaired. That was my wedding gift to her at the time. And so in my wisdom, we have never been on a big roller coaster ever again. Right. So, is this your life? I stop the world, I want to get off. Is that the kind of thing? Or let me have a smoother ride. So let me just look at the apostles and the early disciples. Was their life any different? Hey, 3 years with Jesus. That was absolutely amazing. Seeing the miracles. So we often think, wouldn't it have been great to have walked with Jesus? And I'm absolutely sure that it would have been. But would it still have been a roller coaster ride? And then Jesus telling them that he was going to leave them. It's important for you that I go away. What are you saying? We're just, you're the one. So, confusion. And then at his crucifixion, absolute despair. We thought he was going to restore, he was the Messiah, he was going to restore the kingdom. And then the resurrection, oh, wow, elation. And then at his ascension, see you later, guys. Wait, just wait. And then Pentecost, the formal introduction of the Holy Spirit to the world and his availability to anyone who will receive him. And that's what we are celebrating today. But then let's look just a little bit more closely at the 3 years that Jesus spent with the disciples. Follow me. Oh, I think that would be a little bit like you got a friend that comes to you with a great idea for a business and he says, why don't you leave your job and come and join me? It'll be great. That's a big step. That is a big move. Not many of us actually do that. I'm not saying that I'm one of them that's done it either, but maybe some of you have. Just left a job and sort of in faith, moved out. I can imagine that was exactly how those who followed Jesus would have felt. What am I in for? Then the miracles, that would have been absolutely amazing. But then seeing the reaction of, hey, how come other people don't see this as being as fantastic as I see it? Just, don't they get it? Nobody's ever done this stuff before. Jesus breaking traditions. Why is he talking to that woman? Why is he overturning those tables, like locking horns with the commercial interests of the day? How's he going to get out of the question from these scribes and Pharisees? I can imagine that there were lots and lots of different types of feelings that would have gone through the disciples' and the apostles' minds during this journey. How are we going to pay tax? We've got to pay tax. But through it all, in terms of all those experiences, the disciples developed a belief that being with Jesus was the right place to be. We don't know what's going to happen, but whatever happens, Jesus has got the answers that we are going to need. Have we developed that sort of faith? So what was Jesus really doing in his time with the disciples? Yes, he had a wider ministry which impacted the community, but what was he doing with the disciples? He was teaching them spiritual truths. And it all started, in one sense, with Nicodemus. You must be born again. What do you mean? Don't understand. And I tell you, it is really difficult to understand spiritual truths. And actually, unless the Spirit of God reveals it to you, you can't know spiritual truths. You can get a head knowledge, but the Holy Spirit is needed for us to fully appreciate and understand spiritual truths. He was convincing them that he was God. They expected a Messiah, but they expected the Messiah to be a man, a king, lead them out from underneath the Romans. That was their expectation. But Jesus had to change their thinking around in terms of what was God really like. The concept of God being with you. With you. He sent them on training exercises, 2x2. Oh, amazing stuff. Wow, even the demons are subject to what we're saying. How would you like to have been on that sort of thing? Jesus, that's nothing, mates. Just be thankful and rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. Hey, we sometimes like to think that it'd be great to demonstrate the power of God. That's not the objective. The objective is that we really understand and know God. He explained what his mission actually was, what he came for, and he was attempting to demonstrate to them the closeness of the relationship that he had with his Father. The difference, in a sense, between a fleshly relationship and a relationship in the Spirit. The concept that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me is quite difficult, even for us, to fully appreciate and understand that spiritual truth. It is something in the area of the Spirit that people can co-inhabit one another. The closest we get to it, I suppose, is maybe the relationship between two very close friends or a husband and wife, where you get to that stage where you just know exactly what the other person's thinking or feeling or is going to say without you having to say it, or you actually at times both say the same thing at the same time. I'm sure somehow you've experienced that. He was teaching them that he was God with them. He was the God living amongst them. And so right towards the end, he was then teaching them about the Holy Spirit. And this was prior to his death. So he's trying to explain to them that, hey, I'm not going to be with you guys forever. I'm going away. And it's good, it's necessary, because unless I go, well then, the God with you won't be here. And so he taught them that Jesus would ask the Father, and that the Father would send another comforter, advocate, friend, whatever you would like to think about that. He was going to teach you all things. He was going to reveal things to you, remind you of the things that Jesus had said, all these teachings. And then he said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into the truth. He's going to make known to you things to come. And we often think of that in terms of, hey, what's going to happen around in the world? When's Jesus going to come again? No. He's going to tell you the things that you need to know for the direction of your life. It's not the fantastic things. He's going to make known to you what decision to make when you confront the next situation in your life. He will let you know what is to come. He will be the God living within you. It's a bit like that relationship that Jesus was talking about. I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. And he was wanting to tell them at that time that the same kind of relationship will occur for yourselves. You will have the Holy Spirit living within you. And through that connection, there will be this connection that we will have with God, the God, the part of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is the only connection we have with God on earth today. That might be a bit controversial, but think about that. And then came the day of the Feast of Pentecost. Now, there are far better theologians that can tell you the linkage between the Feast of the Passover and the Feast of Pentecost and all the names for them, etc. Best you go and search Google for those. They're everywhere. But I'm not an expert on those. All I know is that on the day of Pentecost, they were waiting, not knowing what to expect at all. And we've heard in the video what actually happened. We all know the sound of a rushing wind, flames of fire. They were empowered to speak with other tongues. People could hear the noise and possibly saw the lightning and the thunder. We don't know, not sure, but they came because they heard the noise. And when they came, they were amazed that they could actually hear in their own language. And then Peter stood up and he explained that this was being foretold by the prophets, that this promise was for you, that's for all who call on the name of the Lord. So what's the impact for us? I still see that we have a tendency to kind of believe that we've got to do the right thing. We've got to stick by the rules. And if we don't stick by the rules, then somehow we've stuffed it up. And we've got an enemy that keeps prodding us about that. Hey, makes us feel guilty. So we need to believe that Jesus' death has paid the penalty for all that. That part of it's done. What we now need is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives so that we can actually experience the truth of how that works out within our lives. How that the work of the Holy Spirit lifts us above worrying about having to stick by the rules and grants us the ability to follow the things that please the Holy Spirit, that please God. It's a little bit like, I've been to Agra, I've seen the Taj, I'm sure some of you have. I can try to explain what it's like. It's amazing structure. But until you have seen it yourself, it's difficult to really understand or appreciate it. You've kind of got to be there. And so it's a little bit like that with how do we literally experience the victory that walking in the Spirit actually brings us. And until we have that connection with the Holy Spirit, it will always be just head knowledge. The Holy Spirit is the one who takes of the things of the Spirit, the things of God in the heavenlies, and he makes them a reality within our lives. If you want to know God more, you do need to know the Holy Spirit. What a fabulous roller coaster ride. This is a picture of a person led by the Holy Spirit. It is not unique. Every person's ride is uniquely designed by the Holy Spirit for you. You can be assured that there is a purpose in all of that. You can be assured that the Holy Spirit will be working to keep you on the track. Can we learn to appreciate the ride? Our natural tendency is to want a smoother ride. I'd say 80 to 90% of our prayers are all about, help, get me out of this. I've got a problem, please. But how can we appreciate that what the Holy Spirit does in our lives, and you just have to then read on past the Pentecost and what happens in the Acts, how lives get changed. And can we truly learn to appreciate what the Holy Spirit is doing with our lives so that ultimately we get presented spotless before God's presence? Seek, love, and know the Holy Spirit. Bless you.